If you got your listening guide, it's in your program, just pull that out. We'll walk through that. And then if you got your Bible, pull that out. We're going to start out in the book of Genesis today. Genesis chapter 2, page 4 of the Burgundy Bible, so easy to find. We're going to be looking at how God is the best dad ever and looking at how he gave us this gift called work. Yes, don't you think of that when you think of a gift, work? I'll have to admit, early on in my Christianity, I thought work was a curse. I thought it was part of the curse when Adam and Eve sinned. I thought that was just part of the punishment. It was like, now you have to get a job, you know? And then I went back and I read this passage, and I realized that wasn't the case. That work is actually a blessing. And I started looking at that. And then as I started looking at it and thinking about it, I started thinking about why would I think it was not a blessing? And I look back on the early jobs that I had. When I was 14 years old, I got a job working at a donut shop. Okay, my first job, 4:15 in the morning every Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. I even wonder more what my parents were thinking because they had to drive me to work every Saturday and Sunday. And I made minimum wage. Actually, back then, I don't know if it's still true today, but if you're 14 years old, they can pay you less than minimum wage. So I would get up early, feel like junk, go in and work. And of course, at 14 years old, they give you the worst of the worst jobs, right? Because you're the young guy. So you mop the floors, you clean the toilets, you go and you flip the donut, you do whatever nobody else wants to do. And that was my job. And then, I guess I got a little older, started cutting grass. And I think my dad wanted to build a work ethic in me. So the job that I got was cutting my grandma's yard. Now, grandma's yard was about an acre and a half, and I had a 20-inch push mower. Anybody ever done that before? It's like 3.5 hours. 3.5 hours. And I got paid a lot. I mean, minimum wage back then was $3. I got $2 for the whole job. I made $2. And my grandma later out, my dad was the one paying me. My grandma moved back to her house. She was in Arizona. She moved back and she found out what it cost because I went to college and she had to pay somebody else $35. She wrote me a letter of apology. She's like, I'm so sorry. Your dad said $2 was okay. So maybe that was your experience. Maybe you had one of those jobs that you just really, it wasn't your favorite job. Maybe you're in one of those jobs right now. Maybe you're in a job right now that every time you think of going to work, it's depressing. It's discouraging. It's not fulfilling. It's exhausting. It takes everything inside of you just to put your pants on, your shirt on, and go in and do your job. And sadly, that's the way it is for a lot of folks. But God did not intend it to be that way. God put Adam in charge of the garden. And I believe it was a very rewarding experience. And I believe when we find that job that God has designed for us, that we do find great joy. And we find fulfillment. And we find purpose in that. Now, not all of our joy and our purpose, because obviously God's got a bigger plan. But that work is a part of that. So we're going to look at that. You got Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 8 and then scoot down to verse 15. Verse 8 says, then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. And then skip down to 15. It says, the Lord God placed the man in the garden of Eden to tend it and watch over it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask what God has for us today. Lord, we just humble ourselves this morning, and we thank you. We thank you for the gift you've given us in work. Lord, sometimes, just being honest, God, some of our jobs we have, that we don't like them, and we don't want to go to work, and they're hard, and they're miserable. And so, God, I pray as I share today, that through your word, we can even find joy in doing the hard jobs. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Amen. That's right. All right. So first thing I want you to see is that God gave us work as a gift. That's the first thing on your listening guide, if you got that. God gave it as a gift. Now, depending on where you work, probably thinks whether that's really true or not. Depending on your experiences you've had, may depend. But I believe it's true, and that's what God intended for it, was that work could be a gift to us, giving us purpose and a reason. If you have your listening guide, Ephesians 4:28 there. Ephesians 4:28 shows a little bit more of that purpose. Part of it's keeping us out of trouble. An idle mind and idle hands are devil's workshop, right? When you got nothing to do, usually you get in trouble. I know as a teenage boy, whenever I got in trouble, it was when I was with my buddies, and we just didn't have anything to do. It's like, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. Let's throw a rock through somebody's window. Yeah, that makes sense. No, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense. But somehow when you've got nothing to do, you start thinking of the wrong things to do. Well, Ephesians 4:28 says this. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work. And then give generously to others in need. That's the gift. When you work hard, God provides, and you can bless others in their time of need. When they're struggling and they come to you and they tell you they're hurting, you can be the one that says, you know what? I'm sorry to hear that. And then you can sneak around, go buy some groceries, and stick it on the front porch. You can be the one that when others are hurting and they're going through cancer or whatever, you can be the one to rally people together for that benefit or whatever, to bless them and provide for them and help them. And you could be the one to slide the big fat check right in there with it. The joy that I see in people's lives who learn to give generously are the people I find that really learn to enjoy their wealth. And I believe God blesses and blesses even more when you learn to do that. So, now, it is interesting that he says, if you're a thief, to quit stealing. So sometimes you may think, I wonder what those churches were like. Were those perfect people in those churches? No, they weren't. They were broken people just like us. And here he is writing them saying, hey, guys, if you're stealing stuff, cut it out. Instead, work hard and help others in need. Now, maybe we could learned from Franklin Roosevelt. Franklin Roosevelt, one of our former presidents, had a great quote about work and achievement. He said, happiness is not in the mere possession of money. It lies in the joy of achievement, in the thrill of creative effort. God has put it inside of all of us to desire to achieve, to desire to make a difference. And he put it inside of us that we're most fulfilled when we do that in all areas of life, including work. There's something about a man that we need to go out and kill something and drag it home. Am I right? If I'm going to feel like I've achieved something, I need to accomplish something and make a difference. Well, in that famous poet and author that we all know and love, Rocky Balboa, he said, it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Listen, in your jobs, you're going to get hit. You're going to work and do your best, and the guy next to you who's a slacker is going to get the promotion. It's going to happen. We live in a fallen world. You're going to do your best, and you're going to, my dad worked for a company for 25 years, moved up from the foundry where he would tell me stories about how hot it was, and my mom would tell me he would come home just covered in goop, and he'd have to take his clothes off and shower in the backyard before he came inside, to when 26 years later, he was the plant manager, closing the door. He'd given 26 years of his life to International Harvester, and he thought that's where he'd be for life. And it was over. And in the midst of that discouragement, Where do you turn? If work is all you have, where do you turn? You have no place to turn. It's good to find purpose in your hard work, but you can't find all your purpose, because obviously God intended for us to lean on Him as well. Well, second thing is God expects and rewards hard work. God expects, He expects us to work hard, and He rewards hard work. Paul writes to his young apprentice Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5. He's writing a letter to Timothy to give him some encouragement. And he's telling Timothy what to tell the church. And he says to them, give these instructions to the church so that no one will be open to criticism. But those who don't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. I used to hear the phrase, charity begins at home. It's true. It's what Paul's telling. Folks, we need to provide. We need to start home and make sure we're providing for our own families. We need to work hard. We need to be diligent. We need to provide and set the example for our children and our children's children. And I think it starts when you're young. I'm grateful that my parents taught me a work ethic. I'm grateful that they encouraged me to work. And even when I realize now as a dad that he didn't need my help in the garage. I was probably the one waving the tools around, right? But he allowed me to be a part of that. And as a father of children, I've learned that it is a gift to them to teach my children to work. I saw recently on social media that a lady had posted about her kids doing chores and was proud of them putting dishes in dishwasher or something. And she immediately got a backlash from other people saying, I can't believe you make your kids do stuff that you should be doing yourself. Can't believe that you're forcing your kids to do manual labor. And got some pushback from some, but then others started sending in videos of their kids doing chores saying, great idea, way to go. Which is it? Well, it really comes down to whether you think work is a curse or blessing, doesn't it? Because if you think work is a blessing, then teaching your kids how to have a work ethic is a blessing. If you think it's a curse, then teaching your kids to do work and chores is a curse to those children. So we who read the book, God's book called the Bible, we understand that He intended work for a blessing. So I encourage you to start young. Parents, I encourage you to train your kids to do chores. Give them responsibility. Let them be part of the family. When they get to be teenagers, give them responsibility. Help them get that first job cutting the grass, babysitting, whatever it can be. Don't let them treat you as their slave, as their house cleaner, as everything that under their foot. Train them when they are young. Young adults, do you think about giving back to your grandparents for all that they did? Going over and helping them, serving them? It is a gift that we can give, whomever it may be to, and our youthfulness especially. Well, so here's a couple of more quotes. Here's Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison said, the three great essentials to achieve anything worthwhile are first, hard work. Second, stick-to-itiveness, probably where we got that phrase. And third, common sense. Hard work. Why is it that in our culture, we're trying to edify just the opposite? You watch a lot of the shows targeting teenagers and young adults, a lot of the sitcoms, they're all edifying those that are lazy and finding a way to shift work to other people. They make fun of the intelligent ones that choose to work hard on school projects. They make fun of them and edify those that are choosing to be slackers and trying to get out of it. God honors the hard worker. He does. We want to get ahead quick. We want the lottery. I have people say to me all the time, well, I'll do that when I win the lottery. I'll do that when I win the lottery. And I'll just tell you, you need to go and do a Google search and you need to study the lives of the people that win the lottery. very few of them wind up positive at all. Because God intended us to earn income through hard work. He intended us to be blessed through hard work, not through somebody just slapping us a $1 million check for doing nothing. Now, having said that, I'm not opposed to receiving a $1 million check for doing nothing. There's nothing wrong in that. If somebody wants to write a check to me for $1 million, I'm not going to go, I did not work for this, right? That's called a blessing. In the same way, if you get a Christmas gift or a wedding, that's a blessing, right? I'm not saying you have to work for anything or don't receive it. Don't receive that idea. I'm saying God honors hard work. I like this quote, kind of a humorous quote. We don't know who said it, but it makes sense to me. Those who reached the top of the mountain did not fall there. We fall downward. We work hard to get up, right? And then this one from Ann Landers. Nobody ever drowned in his own sweat. Now that I found that, I think I'm going to post that on my wall. It's a great quote. All right, well, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, if you want to skip over to page 980. Page 980. Paul is writing to people that live in Ephesus. And he's writing to slaves. Some of his listeners are slaves. Now, we are blessed to live in a country that has eliminated slavery. I'm so grateful. They were not blessed in the Roman Empire to have that privilege. Slavery was still a common part of their commerce. Slavery was still a part of their workforce. Matter of fact, those who lived in Rome, there were more slaves in the city of Rome than free men. And that was one of their fears, was rebellion. Okay? So how would you think Paul would encourage the slaves? Should it be towards rebellion? Should it be to work together to overthrow the government with pitchforks? And Paul realized that he wasn't going to change the government anytime too soon. But what he did realize is that every man and woman of God can still find joy despite their circumstances. And so he wrote this to him. He says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. You got your Bibles underlined that. Isn't that good? Isn't that the definition of character? What you do when nobody's watching. That's character. And Paul's saying to the slaves, work hard even when your boss and your owner can't see you. I think that's key in everyday workforce. There was a phrase at the donut shop, when the boss is away, it's time to play. And I remember the guy that was under the boss, he was about 25. And when the boss would leave, sooner or later, when there were no customers coming in, the donuts would start flying across the store. And we get in a donut war. And next thing you know, a donut. And I'll never forget, I was working the cash register, and we were having a battle. And one zinged by me and hit the front door right as the customer was coming in. Yeah, yeah. Now, I'd like to say that I was the employee that said, hey, this is a bad idea. This is not glorifying God. But I wasn't. I wasn't. I hope that if I was in that situation today, that I would. So, Ephesians, let's finish up here with that, with Ephesians. So verse 7, work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Remember that the Lord will reward each of you for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. So God rewards us. So even for the slave, even though they were being forced, Paul was trying to let them know, if you work to the glory of God, if you will work hard, God is the one that will reward you. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. My favorite example of that in the Bible is Joseph. If you get a chance, go back to the Old Testament, look up the name Joseph, and read the stories of Joseph. Joseph tried to do good. He was sold into slavery. He worked hard as a slave. He got bumped up to being the lead slave of all slaves. Then he got betrayed by his master's wife, got thrown in prison. He worked hard as a prisoner, became the head of all prisoners. And then God eventually put him as second in command of all Egypt. God is the rewarder of those who work hard. The third thing, God is your boss and he is awesome. God is your boss and he is awesome. He sees every time you work hard. He sees your heart. He sees it and he is the one to reward. Look at Colossians 3, just a couple pages over from Ephesians, page 989. He says, slaves. So he's talking to slaves again. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you've done, for God has no favorites. Verse 23 for me is like my favorite verse when it comes to my work verse. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you're working for the Lord rather than people. At church, when I've worked at my part-time jobs in the past, when I cut grass, when I do things to serve others, I want to work knowing that God is my boss and nobody else. If you will get to the point in your life that you realize your paycheck comes from God and not your boss or your company or even the CEO, God is your boss. And if you will get in your mindset, you're going to work at McDonald's or Save-A-Lite or Formica or for Cummins or whoever it may be, you're working for them, but ultimately you're reporting to Jesus Christ. Your diligence, your hard work, your character, your righteousness, you're accountable to him, and he is the rewarder. He is awesome. I had somebody say to me one time after I had challenged them in their walk and their work ethic, they said, Steve, I've been working as hard as I can for the last 6 months, and my boss hasn't even noticed. Matter of fact, they're not even talking to me about promotion. They gave it to this other guy who's a slacker. He just goofs off all the time, but he's friends with the boss, and he got the promotion. So why should I give my best to that company? And I said, well, that's where you're wrong. He said, what do you mean? I said, your boss saw everything that you did, and he's the rewarder because your boss is God. And your boss and your company may not reward you, may even demote you, but your boss in heaven sees it all, and he is the one that is the ultimate promoter. Now, if you're a boss of people, you know this is true. You know if you're a godly man or woman of character that oversees people, who are you looking for? The person that works hard when nobody else does, right? The person who does their best even when they know they're not going to get a reward for it. Those are the people I'm always looking for because I know that I can't be around them all the time. I want the people that are going to be working with all their heart under the Lord if I only see them 2 hours a week. I don't want this phrase to be, when the boss is away, the workers will play. I want it to be that we will do all things to the glory of God. And that is the way I want to live my life. Martin Luther King had a great quote. He says, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted or Beethoven composed music or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. Isn't that beautiful? So it doesn't matter if you're on the line at the factory or if you're checking people out at Walmart Or if you're sweeping streets, loading garbage, working for the president, what matters is that in all things we do it for the glory of God. Well, the fourth thing is that God invites all of us into the most rewarding work ever. God invites all of us into the most rewarding work ever. Matthew, just a couple of books back in Matthew, chapter 9, page 807, Jesus is offering a job to everybody in the room, okay? He's offering an opportunity for everybody in here to sign up, and he wants to be your boss. He wants to give you an opportunity to be on his team. Here's what he says. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And when he healed every kind of disease and illness, and when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields." So the harvest is great. As you walk out these doors, we live in a county. I don't know if you saw it. It's exciting. Cookeville's the eighth fastest growing micropolitan, I think is what they call it, in the nation. People are moving here like crazy for jobs. People are moving here to retire. People are moving here. I talked to a lot of people in our church. They come and it's like, "Well, why did you move here?" "Well, I would drive through here on I-40. I love the scenery. I've got a job now. I can work from home. I thought, why not move to Cookeville? Great cost of living, great people. The people in the community were friendly. I decided to stay." People are moving here. The fields are white unto harvest. God's bringing people to us to love them well, to be his hands and feet. And so my challenge today to everybody is to be a missionary. I want to permission everybody in the room today to be a missionary. I want to permission you to be a missionary where you work, live, and play. You work at a fitness center, you're a missionary at that fitness center. You work at a heating and cooling company, you're the missionary at that heating and cooling company. You work at Cookeville Hospital, you're the missionary at Cookeville Hospital. I can't be in all those places, but you're already there. Jesus is inviting you into the fields for the harvest. He's inviting you to be a part of his team. I mean, I don't know, maybe you guys aren't football fans or sports fans, but if you can just go with me, how would you like it if you were a football player and you're playing college and it's your senior year and all of a sudden the team in the Super Bowl has somebody get hurt and they call you up and say, "Listen, we can only pay you $140,000 for the one game. But if you'll come play for us this one game in the Super Bowl, we'd love to have you." Is there anybody that would go, "Nah, I got something to do. I've already got planned a picnic with me and my dog"? Or would you like cancel everything and go, "I'm going to the Super Bowl," right? Because it's what you've trained for and you get elevated to that opportunity. Listen, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that created the universe and put it into place, the one that created and designed your heart, your soul, your mind, the one that loves you more than anybody else in the world says, "Hey, will you come play in the Super Bowl with me? Will you be a part of my team? Because I want you. I want you to be on my starting lineup. I want you to go into your workplace and be a light that shines so bright that people will see your good works and glorify me in heaven." So there's a little commitment thing here. Four things I want to challenge you to do when it comes to work. The first, I want to challenge you to choose to work hard unto the Lord. When you go back to your workplace on Monday, if all your buddies usually slack off when the boss leaves, I want to challenge you to be the person that keeps working. Okay? If you have a job that feels like a meaningless, dead-end job, I want to challenge you to press on anyway and be an example there. Okay, second, I will trust God for my rewards. I want to challenge you to work expecting no rewards at all from your present job, but work hard knowing that your rewards will come in heaven, that you truly believe that God will reward you for what everybody else cannot even see. Three, I want to challenge you to begin to pray for your coworkers, the ones you like and the ones that you don't. I want you to pray for your bosses, the ones you like and the ones that you don't. And I want you to begin to pray blessings upon them. Pray that God blesses their families. Pray that God blesses their marriages. Pray that God blesses their business. Pray that God blesses them and that they'll begin to see those blessings as coming from God. And pray for righteousness at the workforce. And the last thing, I want to challenge you to commit to be a worker for God's harvest. I want to challenge you to commit to begin praying for them and then letting them know why. What does it look like to be a worker? Maybe it's showing up 10 minutes early to work and being the person that puts the pot of coffee on and serving them that way. Maybe it's being the person that brings donuts every Friday, or if you're, you know, healthy, maybe it's Great Harvest Food Company, right? Maybe it's apples and oranges. I don't know. I want to challenge you to be the one that loves the people that are hurting. When they come in and they tell you about a disease, their wife has cancer, their daughter's in the hospital, I want to challenge you to be the missionary to them and be the person that goes and visits them at the hospital and stops in that moment and says, hey, I know you shared with the guys that your wife just was diagnosed. Would you be open to me praying with you here during lunch break? I want to challenge you to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And the last thing, I want to challenge you to know Jesus. Steve really explained it well in communion. The first step is giving your heart over to him. Listen, don't wait till you're perfect. It never happens. You don't get good enough for God. God knows that. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why we need Jesus, because none of us can earn our way to God. God loves us so much, he sent his one and only son for you and I, that we might have eternal life. But we must believe. Listen, don't worry about your past. That's what Jesus takes care of. You worry about your decision to follow him. If you would bow your head with me. For some in the room today, you've never yet given your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe God today is saying, today is your day. If so, then I invite you to pray a sincere prayer to the Lord and to yourself, following after me now. Dear God, today I give you my whole life. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior and King. Please forgive me for the junk of my past. I want you to be my best dad ever. I pray that in your name. Amen.